Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Saloon. I'm your host, Jay Hill, and tonight we have Haley Overseth on as a guest. I've just recently kind of booked a bunch of other guests for next week, so my list is filling up, and man, I've been doing this now for a week, and I'm already getting a little bit tired, but that's okay, because I've got a great show tomorrow and Sunday, and yeah. But yeah, my guest, let's just get her on, and she can let you know who she is.
Well, howdy,
hey.
Hello there, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I am most excellent. I love this Paranormal Saloon vibe. I dig the mic. I dig the chairs. Like, those look pretty comfy. I feel like we need to have some snifters of brandy and some cigars going with this vibe you got
right, rocking
here. I dig
right. You're the second person that has said that background picture, that it kind of fits perfect, you know? And I didn't think of it that way when I first saw that picture. I just liked the picture, you know? And then the backdrop, I was like, oh. It kind of fits.
It totally fits. We're both sitting in a chair having a chat. It's perfect. I love it. Yeah. It's like being in a real live studio for a podcast.
Right.
Makes me feel a little fancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try. You know.
Well done, you. I love it.
Tell my viewers and listeners a little bit about yourself. And, you know, this is our first time actually really meeting. And we have some things going on, you know, with different things, but we never really haven't really talked. So.
Well, hi, hello, Haley Overseth, the Frankie's Podcast Network. I host a bunch of podcasts myself. Sci-fi fiction writer, The Adventures of Abernathy Franklin. That's where I started with my podcast, is a fictional podcast, actually. I do abstract art. You can see it on the wall, and I'm doing all kinds of fun, crazy stuff out in the quantum multiverse all day, every day. That's what I do. I am a curious being, and I'm here to experience this human ride. And the paranormal is some stuff that I do really love. People from your audience may know me from hosting the Global Ghost Hunt last year. And yeah, I'm happy to be here. We were already talking Bigfoot before we started, though. So I know that you're one of my peeps when you can start talking cryptids with me just straight out of the gate.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I have another host, actually she's my cousin, Kelly Schaefer, is a big cryptid and Bigfoot fan. I like Bigfoot, don't get me wrong. I just, same with kind of UFOs and all that. I'm more of a paranormal guy. You know, I'm more of a spirit guy, you know, because I'm actually
talking to the ghost.
I'm actually a medium, so. You know,
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that you jumped into a podcast maybe one of the podcasts that Glenda and I was doing for in the comments, or I can't remember which one it was, but so here's a question then. You're in the spirit realm. You're talking about, I'm going to flip this around and I'm going to be the host for a hot minute.
Okay.
That's what's going to, I turn the tables on you immediately is what happens when you invite me on your show.
Oh, that's okay.
So as a medium, then, is there, you don't ever encounter or communicate with or sense entities that might be from other realms that are not the human spirit realm?
No, that's not really my forte, so to speak. I kind of tend to the homebody. You know what I mean? Of this realm, you know what I mean? Not to say that I haven't encountered something possibly that could be, but I am more of a, like, let's say I go to a haunted location or a supposed haunted location. I usually get images or information before I go, so I have something to go on, and I don't let anybody tell me what it is about this place. I have to find all of it on my own. So I can have that validation. But most of the time, it's been homebodies. It's been people who haven't crossed over, or people that have crossed over and come back. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, I've ran into some different entities that were technically never human, but I call those, they're kind of like minions, you know, they're kind of like little imps, little.
They're like adorable little dudes from Pixar. That's
Oh God, these things are quite ugly, but no, they're more or less they're just tricksters, you know. And I ran into a couple of them, but they don't mess with me. I don't mess with them. You know what I mean? But
well, you're busy doing your own job and helping spirits cross over. That's kind of, so it's interesting. One of the first guests that I ever had as a interview guest, her name was Tina Irwin, and that was like her specialty thing too, helping spirits cross over, which is, it's interesting to me. Like, so, and I did a couple of like paranormal investigations, for example, during the Global Ghost Hunt with a friend of mine. And it's interesting to me, the idea of helping spirits cross over for the sake of the collective. I don't know if this is something that you've explored or talked about, but sort of the idea of, the collective of humanity can raise in consciousness more quickly when you release those traumatic things that are holding on. So, I mean, what can you maybe talk a little bit about for me? Have you seen any, I don't know, what's your take on like where the status of things, I guess I would say. Like, hey Jay, give us a status report on where humanity's at with releasing all their trauma and their shadows. How we doing on getting all them spirits crossed over?
It's a difficult balance, you know. But for the most part, there's a balance that is pretty much kept out. I'm not sure, but I can see it. You know what I mean? It's kind of a spiritual balance. Sometimes it tips in either way, but as of, you know, the world is in like everything that's going on now and can have a small effect or a big effect, you know, this and that. But when it comes down to personal experiences, all I can speak to is my path of how I help people, you know, and how I help the living and the dead. You know what I mean? So, I have, you know, crossed over a couple few different spirits, and it's rewarding in itself, but I don't do it for the reward. I do it just because it's just part of who I am.
I love that. I think there's not enough people who, again, we did talk about this just a little bit before we started. I do think that, we as humans, we have these natural innate abilities, and we've been sort of taught to believe that we don't. And so we think we have to practice or learn, right? But really, we're relearning how to get back to the part of us that already knew how to do these things and already knew how to help. And I think it's really great that you are following your authentic path and just being who you are. There's not a, I do this for the attention, I do this for the dollars, I do this because I, no, this is just a part of what I do. This is my thing. This is my shtick. I go with it.
Well, just like with you, I mean, you know, you've got your podcast and, you know, all the other things that you're doing, like with the, you know, Global Ghost Hunt and this and that. I mean, you know, so you have your own stick as well.
I do. Writing is my shtick. Being in the cosmos and checking out all the things that are available in the quantum multiverse, that's my thing. I love all of the different dimensions. So, like a lot of the stories that I write, I've got things that are paranormal flavored, like my characters interacting with spirits from the spirit realm. But then I've also got them interacting with fairies in fourth and fifth dimensional overlays of the planet to aliens out in the Orion Belt, right? I kind of dabble in all of it, in all of the realms and all of the different dimensions and densities that exist because they all fascinate me. I am endlessly curious. I think that's how you end up in the paranormal sort of curious worlds. Maybe
Because
you can speak to that a little bit, and maybe people that you know.
if you're curious, you know, it's kind of like that curiosity really can get to you, you know. And people are curious upon, you know, other things. You know, it doesn't even have to be the paranormal. But I mean, if they're curious about accounting or, you know, dealing with numbers or, you know, working.
Numerology, yes, I will do numerology and angel numbers, but accounting, no, thank you.
So, you know, I mean, it's whatever, you know, kind of compels you to be able to follow your path or to follow your dream, so to speak. I mean, you know, people might even say that, you know, Why would anybody want to dream about being a accountant? Maybe they just like numbers enough that that's all, that's enough for them. You know what I mean? So,
you know, I think there's people that can do things like that, and it's sort of meditative for them, right?
Right,
like for
right,
people who
agree.
Like are like when they get in the numbers and they get in the math and they're doing those things, it's a flow state, right? You're in a flow state. It's very meditative, mm-hmm. and it feels natural for you to continue. If mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense to you to do it and you don't like it, then that's not your flow state thing. Ditch it, right. Leave it. You don't need it.
Right. And there'll be many different things that, you know, and when we grow up from when we were kids, you know, there's many different things where one day, you know, when kids were real little, I want to be an astronaut, or I want to be the president, or I want to be this, you know, I mean, all those ideas change, but eventually one of them will stick, will resonate with you or that person more. You know what I mean? When I was growing up, I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to play in a band. I wanted to play guitar. I wanted to do all these things. And then it was kind of like me getting on stage. I didn't have a problem doing that. Same with speaking in high school. I hated like speech class.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. The first speech I ever did in my speech class, I was, you know, not even interested. When the teacher called upon me and I did it, I was supposed to have note cards, and I was supposed to pick a topic and write on note cards. And I wasn't prepared at all. I just said everything, whatever I had on top of my head. And the teacher said, you've never done that. And I said, no. And he said, you're in the wrong class. And I said, evidently. And he said,
yeah, evidently.
Yeah. He said to me, I'm going to give you a B minus because you didn't have your note cards, or it would have been an A. I'm like, okay. And he told me to go to another class, which was advanced speech class for college. And so he told me to go, and I walked in that room, and teacher thought, you know, here I am in my, this is, you know, the 80s. You know, I was in my ripped mm-hmm. jeans and black rock t-shirts and my leather jacket, and I walk in there and
being very rock and roll. I love it.
Right. And the teacher thought I was in the wrong class. And I said, nope, I'm supposed to be here. I aced that class.
I was going to say, well, you know, as a medium, though, you probably just naturally stepped into channel, which, again, is something that we as humans all do when you're in the flow of the thing that is
yep.
your thing.
Yep.
And, you know, this is something, it's interesting that you kind of bring up this topic, because one of the things that I'm actually really interested in sort of using my stories and my fiction for is like edutainment. Mm-hmm. And because I do think that like there is this sort of paradigm that we have, and it's falling away, it's falling apart. But when it comes to schooling, like you were just expected to take certain classes, and it really didn't mm-hmm. matter if you had an aptitude towards them or not, if you enjoyed mm-hmm. it or not, if you were good at it or not, you just have to take this class. Right. And so, I mean, I hope that it will shift, but I'm looking at being able to do that with my writing, being able to create something that is entertaining so that people can engage with information and really dive down those rabbit holes that they're excited about, right? And like really make it fun for people to explore information, to explore different industries, different subjects, different topics, right? To be curious. We're all a little bit ADHD in the days that we write, and we're all curious about different things. Yeah.
Is there something that you basically, you know, considering with your writing and this and that, is there something that you are kind of shy about going down that hole with?
No, I am endlessly curious about everything.
Right, but I mean, like when you're writing something and you're like, oh, this is a good idea, and you say, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to write about that.
Oh, no, you know, I think for me, it is kind of a channeling flow state situation mm-hmm. for me. I really tune into my characters. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, so for example, in my first few episodes of The Adventures of Abernathy Franklin, I originally wrote one of my characters, Bernie. She's a writer, and she's one of the versions of Abernathy Franklin. And she was a little bit sort of short, terse, kind of like, She just had some small dialogue and some small parts. She wasn't a big part in the episode I wrote her into. Mm-hmm. Cut to sometime last year, I'm walking around Big Sioux, the river that I like to go hang out at, and just kind of chilling with nature and tuning in. And I get to sort of like channel and meet Bernie. And it turns out Bernie is actually a Southern gal who grew up in Georgia, and she's just as sweet as a Georgia peach. And I had her written all wrong. And I'm like, oh, okay, shoot. Now I got to go rewrite Bernie because I had her wrong. And it's so that's what it is for me. It's there's nothing that's sort of like off limits or that I'm not ready to explore or go into. It's, you know, am I really resonating with that character? For me, it's kind of like channeling the quantum multiverse. Am I telling the story that is from your perspective? Am I getting your story right? So, right. You know what? Maybe you can think of me as like a cosmic sort of correspondent or journalist of some kind. I'm kind of just reporting back from the field, y'all. I met Bernie, and it turns out she's a Georgia peach. My bad. I had it wrong.
That's awesome. See, well, that's something that you had found that resonates with you, you know, and, you know, part of that is our responsibility in learning some of those parts of our, you know, authenticity of being genuine. We have to kind of look beyond the norm. We kind of have to explore something that we're curious about, but, you know, not necessarily that we're afraid of, but it's just something that we just think of outside the box, you know, and to be able to, you know, do what you do is to write. I can only imagine that thinking out of the box is kind of a normal thing.
It is, yes.
You know, and you want to kind of grow that and kind of mold that into something that, is this something that somebody wants to read? Is this something that somebody wants to see? Is this, you know, and that's, and I'm kind of the same way. When I do podcasts or, you know, trying to, you know, working on trying to get my documentary off the ground, you know, I want to be able to put something together that people are going to want to watch or that they're going to want to engage, you know?
You want it to resonate with your audience. You want people to find something in it that helps them see themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's got to be an underlying thing that you can't just create art without having something come back at that person to connect them. You know what I mean? There's people that can look at art all the time or movies or things, and people can say, oh, that was a dumb movie, or I just didn't like that painting, or I didn't like that story. Then find something that does resonate. And I think a lot of people miss that. A lot of people in the world miss that idea of what really does resonate with me. What makes me happy? What makes me click? What makes me want to get up in the morning? All these questions you've got to answer, ask yourself to get to that point of what resonates with Haley, or what resonates with Jay, or what resonates with Joe down the street. You know what I mean? So
I think that's a key question. Well, it is, but I think that's, you know, again, part of sort of society in general, we're trained to look at the problem and not the solution. We're trained to look at what we don't like instead of look at what we do like. We're trained to fight against the thing that we would prefer not to experience instead of looking for what we would prefer, right? And so that's, I think, where we're getting to collectively in humanity, to that authentic space where we just realize, okay, everything is available on the buffet of human experience, and it's all valid for whomever might want it. And it's not about trying to convince somebody that this dish is the best dish and you got to like that prime rib. And if you don't, you're wrong. No, this dish is just the one that I like the most. You don't have to like it. You can like whatever you want. It's available for everybody. I think we're getting to a better place where we can accept people and just let everyone have their own journey and their own story and not think that we need to impose our perspective, our free will of, you know, what we choose for ourselves on other people.
Right. We need to stop letting limitations be put on us because of society says, oh, you can't do that, or you can't say this, or you can't. You know what? Is that what you signed up for before you came to Earth?
Did you sign up front?
You know what I mean? Did you say, I'm not going to accept this, and I'm not going to do, you know what I mean? These are all the life experiences. The planet, this planet, planet Earth, is the hardest to learn on and to live
on. It's the toughest school that there is in the cosmos.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I've even heard spirits that have not been here that are on the other side thinking about coming here realize, hell no.
Really? Tell me.
There's been a couple when I'm connecting with people on the other side, for spirit, mm-hmm. for entities, there's been a couple that I've, that the rumbles are, some spirits are like, nope, no way. It's one of the hardest planets to live on. People who don't understand y'all, that.
If you're here, that means you are Navy SEAL level badass. Good for you for incarnating here. Well done.
Right. You know, I truly believe that. That it's just, you talk about, you know, interdimensions, you know, there's mm-hmm. a bunch of different things. You know, people cannot understand, may not understand this conversation. Some will, and understand that, yeah, there's more out there than just what we see in two dimensions.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's 3D, you know.
I mean, listen, you know, there is a whole conversation in the scientific community about whether or not humans can feel wetness. Like, we can't even get scientists to agree as to what wetness is in that conversation. This is something that I've gone down the rabbit hole of. But supposedly humans don't have the correct sensors or sensory, you know, nervous system, whatevers, to sense qualities of water that science describes as what wetness is. And I've always been like, okay, if that doesn't tell me that reality is just a hologram, I don't know what does. I mean, if there is a manatee in the ocean who has sensory something or others that lets it have some other experience of water that I have no access to with my sensory, that's a whole other level of reality that I am not interacting with.
Right.
It's like dogs that can hear frequencies that we can't hear, right? They're experiencing that we're not experiencing.
Right. And talk about, like, wetness. The whole thing, I was going through a phase where, for some reason, my brain thought that my feet were constantly wet. Like, I would, like, it would be like standing in a puddle of water.
I was going to say, like, you're just standing in some water all the time?
Yeah, right. That's what it felt
okay.
like. And I couldn't understand it. I think I talked to a doctor. I just, off the cuff, I just, you know, talked to my doctor about it or something. And she said, well, you did have a stroke. You know, you had different pathways go through your brain, so, you know, maybe it kind of triggered something, and, you know, so yeah.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the brain is an unusual and unique thing, and it's plastic, and it's, you know, it's a mystery even to science now, the way that the brain works. As much as we find out, there's always more to learn.
Right.
But
when I had my stroke, I had that clot, and it still sticks. It's not known. That was 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I get hiccups every once in a while. My brain skips, you know.
I say that a lot for myself. My brain misfires. I had a lot of head injuries as a kid, and I just, you know, attributed to that your misfiring synapses. It happens now and then. But your brain is an amazing thing, and it does create new pathways. You know, so like it's that endless regenerative capacity that nature has in general, right? Like, our cells regenerate if we take care of ourselves and allow them to.
Right. If we scrape our arm and then it heals itself, why wouldn't your brain do the same thing? You know, why?
Yeah.
You know, internally, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, the body is an amazing piece of work. You know, I mean, if you actually sit down and think about it.
It really is, and it has its own intelligence. You don't have to think about breathing, you know? You sleep all night, and your body breathes all night for you and pumps your blood for you, and you don't have to think about it. It does it without you. Like, it has its own intelligence. And I think even that is something that, I mean, where do you put that on, you know, science? Science and the paranormal kind of realms are starting to bleed together a little bit, mm-hmm. where science is starting to recognize some of the things that we talk about in, like, you know, paranormal, esoteric, mediumship, spirit world, whatever, you know, pick the subject, starting to recognize and do experiments that fit into, like, oh no, yeah, your cells do actually have a lot of their own autonomous intelligence. And your body does have an incredible capacity to heal itself. It's, you know, it is kind of an exciting time in that way, where the things that, and maybe you can speak to this, you know, things that even when I was younger were not, it wasn't acceptable to talk about it. If you talked about it, you were crazy. I mean, sure, there's some people now who would still love to put me in a rubber room, I know, but it's cooler now than it used to be.
Right. There's still some of those rubber room circles, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's just that with like mediumship and, you know, spiritualism and, you know, all that, the movement and this and that. It's just, it's kind of like, it goes through its own waves, you know? It's kind of like a roller coaster. 1 minute it's up, 1 minute it's down, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or it's off to the side, or, you know what I mean? So it's same with the paranormal. I mean, the paranormal is becoming more routinely acceptable than, you know, other things in, you know, the physical world. You know, I mean, a lot of people are spending time in the spiritual world because of the fact that they want answers. And that tells me that more people are curious, just like you are, mm-hmm. you know, about your writing and what you create. And the same thing with people who are into the paranormal and want to investigate, and they want to find out, you know, not just to connect, not just to like connect with the spirit, but they're actually diving more into the history of locations. You know, they want to know what's the backdrop of why the spirit is supposed to be there. You know what I mean? So they're actually doing some research. And
you're, yeah, researching the stories of what surrounds, right. what surrounds that space, that entity, mm-hmm. that spirit. And it's, right. you know, that is one of the things I love about paranormal investigating, is that the people who do it for the experience, right? And like, kind of like you were talking about before, we're here in this life, in this incarnation, for all of the experiences that are available. And for people who are really curious, and like you say, you know, want, they say they want answers, and it's like, you really want an experience of your own, not just right. a secondhand story, not just seeing right. it on TV. You want to be in it and feel the energy and be there and see it for yourself, experience it for yourself, because mm-hmm. that is part of what you came here for. You came here, like, yes, everyone else's stories are great, and I love the podcasting for meeting everyone else and learning their stories and, you know, again, just being endlessly curious. But at the end of the day, you still want to have an experience in this world that is truly your own, and that's why we come here. Right? We come here and incarnate onto this planet so that you can experience what it is to have the perspective of life and of it, Earth and existence, from the way this human understands it. I get to see reality through a Haley window. You get to see reality through a Jay window. And, it's, and then we get to go back out into the ether later and be like, hey man, what was that like for you? That was wild, huh? Like, right. some of that stuff was pretty gnarly.
You're right, right. And that's the way you kind of have to look at it. I mean, everybody needs to look at, you know, it's not so much what's in it for me, but it's that experience and that, mm-hmm. you know, how can I experience this? And I was telling my friend yesterday on another podcast about, you know, I have had multiple jobs just because I want that experience. You know, I need to learn how to cook. I need to learn how to drive a fork truck. I need to learn how to, you know, work on a car. I wanted to learn all those things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't so much that I just couldn't find a job. I was like, why don't I try this job? Why don't I try that? Why don't, you know what I mean? I kind of wanted that experience to know what it was like.
Yeah.
Some of it.
I actually write. Well, yeah, right. Not all of it's great, and you want to give it up. Again, right. kind of the ADHD that we all have. We all want to yep. explore different things. And it's not a thing that people do anymore. Stay in one job, stay in one position, stay on one track, right? Because there's so much to experience, and you want to experience as much of it as you can. I actually have an episode of my Abernathy Franklin series where Frankie, that's where Frankie's podcast network comes from. Frankie is one of the versions of Abernathy Franklin. And okay. she takes another version of her to the Orion portal. And kind of explains that that's how they do it. There's like a blue alien that sells her some snacks that's working behind a counter. And she kind of explains, well, maybe that person's working there today, but they don't always, nobody really, they might just be wanting to do that because they just want to see what it's like to work behind that kiosk today. And tomorrow, maybe there will be an android there instead because they don't have a human that wants to do it. all the jobs always get filled because somebody's always interested in learning what that job is. And people just, it's again, kind of, I've talked about this on some of my podcasts before, but the idea that we all fit into nature every bit as much as what we consider to be nature outside of us fits into like an ecosystem, right? So as much as a squirrel does squirrel things and a shark does shark things, a Haley Overseth does Haley Overseth things. I write, I do art, I podcast, I talk. Jay Hill does Jay Hill things. Like whatever it is that you want to do or you're excited about in the moment, that's the role you're meant to fill in the ecosystem of humanity. You're meant to do that. That's the thing. And even if you change it, because nothing is, you know, permanent, nothing, everything is mutable. Everything's constantly changing. If you don't want to do that anymore, it's because somebody else is ready to do it. And you go ahead and you can go. There is someone else who's going to, you know, the universe abhors a vacuum. It's going to fill the space. If you exit it, don't be concerned about that. Follow the thing that is your thing to do, because that's what you're meant to be doing as your part of the ecosystem right now.
Right. And that message and that statement alone should resonate with all of these listeners, all these people that are going to listen to this on the podcast. They're going to listen to that and they're going to end up a little light bulb's going to go off and be like, hey, yeah, I leave this job or I go do this over here. Something's going to take my spot. Something's going to fill this void. But I'm going to be moving on to something else.
Right. And likewise, when something exits your experience, whatever it is, it will be replaced by something. And I think that's a little bit where we are too as humans, that we're learning to... it's not just like accepting that flow or going with the flow, but really embrace and appreciate that flow that, oh, awesome. If something that, I feel like I have lost, well, I haven't really lost it. There's something else that's going to come in and be, you know, maybe the next level of what it is I'm looking for. We're always evolving and we're always shifting and changing. The more that you allow yourself to shift into what feels right to you in the moment, it's kind of like what they talk about in ancient Buddhist scriptures and the Vedas. Suffering is an illusion, because if you just went with whatever was happening right now, you'd find the next thing that was meant to come to you. That's probably the next better thing, the next best thing, because the universe does want to support you in that.
Yep. And that is so true too, because then that goes with the old adage that one door closes, another one opens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hear that. I mean, even losing my job, it's been a couple times. I hear spirit say, "Well, you know the old adage: one closes, another door opens." You know what I mean? So, and even with this last time, I mean, because I did get let go from a job just because of the fact that they decided to go a different way, which was totally fine. You know what I mean? But I was not upset. I wasn't mad. Yeah. I wasn't, you know what I mean? I was just like, oh, okay. It's like,
there's walking, another thing I got to do
right
now.
Right. It's like walking out of one door and then walking through another door. I mean, and that, and at no time was I upset or scared or, you know, worried. I kept hearing everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. You know, and that's a testament to me of how far that I've come along from where I used to be 20 years ago. And I would, you know, lose my job or whatever. You know, I'd be like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Freaking out. Yep.
That's a wasted energy. You know?
Yes.
The only thing that you should be doing is to collecting yourself to the point where you can ground yourself so that you can formulate a plan that you just execute. What, you know, drives you to do that?
Well, it is. It's following the curiosity that you have is that little voice inside you, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as humans. We do to find that voice, to find the right path to, you know, and I think particularly in the last, and maybe you can talk about this, like, I feel like over the last 5 years, right, there's a lot of people who have had spiritual awakenings, but then there's a lot of folks who become very sort of restricted in it, in the sense of like, there's a particular way you need to do it. Or if you don't have this experience, you haven't had a spiritual experience, right? And rather than looking at this.
Yeah, they're complacent for what they lack or what they think they lack. You know, they become complacent.
Talk more about that.
Well, I mean, you know, being complacent and just being stuck in and not getting out of your own way. You know,
not getting out of your own way. The biggest thing that we talk about, right. I think, in paranormal spiritual, like, there is a voice trying to guide you. Get out of the way.
Yeah. And you just, when you get complacent like that, and you just think, can't get any better, it's never going to, it's either going to get worse. I mean, you're always waiting for that other shoe to drop. Right. You know, and I mean, so getting out of that, you know, getting out of our own way, and letting that germinate to something positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the younger generation have kind of missed that boat of when I was growing up, there was opportunities everywhere. I mean, there is today, but I mean, it's more or less with the computer age and everything. So when I was growing up, we didn't have cell phones and we didn't have, you know, like really high tech games that we played. You know, I mean, we had Atari.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Atari as a kid. My dad had an Atari that, rock and rad, you know, good time. I love Pitfall.
Yeah. So, you know, things were simpler back then. But if you really think about it, it was way more simpler when my parents were there. You know what I mean?
Well, that's part of evolution, right? And
right,
I think where we're at now is that there's so many possibilities, because this is something too that I talk about when I'm on my podcast. I talk to a lot of creative folks, right? People like myself, people like you, people who are doing indie films or acting, performing, you know, they're getting these creative projects together. Because we have the internet, because we have technology, because we have things like AI, it's so much easier and so much faster to create things that you want to create, right? Whether it's art, whether it's, you know, if you want to do an audiobook, maybe you want to create a film, maybe you want to do some animation. And there's not kind of like the, you know, old Hollywood is one of the examples that I use, that it's kind of like, you know, Hollywood for a long time were kind of the gatekeepers of what stories got out, what films and projects were, you know, worth enough money to put out to the masses, as it were. But there's so many avenues now that people can put whatever their stuff is out into the world, and you can find an audience for whatever your stuff is, and you can find them globally. It's not just limited to where you are geographically now. You can expand out across the world because we have this thing, the internet, right? Which is, you could have a whole conversation about whether the internet is just our sort of artificial version of the network of consciousness that we're already tuned into, right? And you as a medium, I'm sure you could speak to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, having basic, you know, knowledge of just computers back when I was, you know, working at Gateway. You know, I was
Gateway. That was the first computer we ever had. It was a Gateway computer, and it came in that giant box that looked like a cow. Why?
I packaged those.
You packaged the cow boxes.
I did.
That's really kind of fun, actually. I enjoy that quite a lot. Those, oh my god, I haven't thought about those Gateway cow boxes for a hot minute, and I'm so happy you reminded me of them.
And you know, and thinking about what was, you know, what they put in those computers and how they did it, you know, how they kind of, they evolved. But when you really think about, when you talk about opportunities, you know, kids now, they do have a lot of opportunities, but they're kind of, in my opinion, they're being stifled by technology. You know what I mean? They're kind of just been boxed in and surrounded by everything that's technology that, you could do so many things. It's almost like seeing one of these kids in a room, and they've got their cell phone and all these other electronic devices and everything. So, you know, there's a whole world out there, and then they kind of just, you know, are just like, you can go get a job in that area. You know what I mean?
But, yeah, I think that's true. That's one of the things that excites me about AI and the AI technologies that are coming out, is that I think a lot of us do get a lot of screen time during the day, right? That we do, because a lot of what you interact with is online now. Right. But the great thing I think about AI is that it's going to free people up to go spend more time out in the world so that you can have an AI something or other taking care of whatever things in this screen time digital verse are the things you don't necessarily want to do. Again, what resonates with you and what doesn't? Are there things that you don't want to necessarily do in the digital world that AI could take care of for you the way that your dishwasher takes care of doing the dishes so that you can be freed up to have more time to go out and explore the world, to be in nature, to be more connected to everything around you, to be connected to the planet? Yeah. You know, and so I'm excited about seeing those things with AI. AI giving us the opportunity to lessen the screen time and go explore as the organic beings that we came here to be.
Well, look at all the marketing AIs now. All those people that have online businesses, they don't have to do a thing. All they got to do is check to see how much they've sold because the AI program has already done all the work.
All of it for you.
And I think that's just going to continue.
You know, it's
going to get more and everything is just going to be, you know, basically maybe that's one way that, like you said, we can get back into nature and we can get back into you know, going outside and, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, I need sunlight. I gotta have sunlight. You know what I mean? I can't, you know, sit inside and do nothing or, you know, be on my phone 24/7.
You gotta
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, that, I need that sunlight. I like light and that's the biggest thing. Sunlight and mountains and trees,
water,
and mother nature, water, everything.
Absolutely. Well, and you get to interact with all the things that are in Mother Nature when you're out there. You get to see the deer and the eagles and the fish and the bugs, even though sometimes I don't really, you know, I don't want them crawling on me. I get it. This is your space. But like, excuse me, please. I'm enjoying it for two. You go over there, Mr. Spatter. So sorry. Right. But I'm excited about that. And I think that's true that like income in general, even AI is going to shift and change you can have so many passive income things and you don't have to give so much of your time away to a job forever just because you have to pay the bills. Like, nope, I have this thing that'll take care of it and take care of, you know, whatever I set up that is my flavor of thing. And now I have time to go hang out by the river and enjoy myself and take my dog for a walk.
Right. You know, and that's another thing too, is if you go back and if people were to take, I would say, 4 hours away from their phone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just 4 hours. And I did this a couple years ago. I made a conscious effort to stay off my phone and off Facebook, off social media for like 3 or 4 months. And it makes a huge difference. I mean, you look at things differently, you know, and you see things differently. You know, and plus the fact that it's not straining your eyes.
Well, and here's the thing that I'm going to ask you then, too, as a medium. Did taking that break from technology help you tune in more clearly?
Definitely. Oh, definitely. Right. Because I'm not distracted. My focus is most of the time it's on my phone because I'm either doing something with my shows or, you know, something with Facebook and the paranormal or whatever. Or I'm watching, you know, something with the news or something, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like I'm always engaged with my phone. But
right.
I gotta just stop. You know what I mean? I need to put the phone down.
I need engage to with your surroundings.
Out. Yeah, right. And I did that, I think it was the other day I was driving to, I don't remember where it was. I had to get pizza. And, so I was driving, but I take this back way, which is kind of out in the country. I saw an eagle. Now an eagle.
Love it.
You know, I saw an eagle coming down towards the car and swooped up probably maybe 10 feet above the car and swooped over my car. Now that was really cool.
That's, you know, amazing.
And, right. And that, to me, that's more or less a sign. You know what I mean? Mother Nature, to me, when I see certain things, the synchronicities and animals.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Animals especially. It's kind
of
like,
because they're tuned in different ways than we are, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And especially when you see certain animals or you see more of them, you know. And it was weird. I
see eagles actually all the time. So it's interesting you say that. Like, I see eagles all the time. And
I have in the last couple months, I've seen probably three of them.
Well, see, for me, like, it's interesting. Someone mentioned this actually maybe a month or two ago, like said that they saw an eagle and they never see eagles or what. And I kind of went like, well, what do you mean? Like, I see eagles all the time. Like, I've been seeing eagles for years in this spiritual awakening space. But it is that's a synchronicity specific to me. Again, being aware of your own personal self well enough to know that, like, that's nature trying to nod at me. That's my spirit guides nodding at me, right? Yeah. And you do miss those things when you're not out there and engaging. Even my friend, when we did our paranormal investigation for Global Ghost Hunt, we were talking to nature and we were asking questions. And then, you know, if the wind picked up or we heard a bird, there was a bird that guided us from like the tree we were sitting under to a different spot that took us to a grave site that we did end up having an interaction with, like, the, you know, she was on the spirit box doing the Estes method thing. And this bird took us to like the right spot to be able to tune in.
Right. See, and that's animals, especially birds. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I saw two crows this morning. I saw one, and the thing's huge. And I was basically talking to him, and was like, you know, you are one big bird. And then it flew away and went across and was sat in front of the yard and was squawking at me. And then it was like, okay, whatever.
You just called it fat. And it was like, excuse me, how dare you? I'm going to come over here and shout at you. That's hilarious.
So, when I talked about, you know, I've seen some eagles recently. And one of my favorite birds is a hawk.
And oh, yes.
I feel that I have a spiritual connection with a hawk. I went out on the deck yesterday, or day before yesterday. And this hawk was standing or sitting perched on my deck rail. Mm-hmm. And it was just sitting. I was like, that doesn't happen. We have hawks, but they're usually way up.
Well, because they're hunting for food. Yeah. I mean, again, I see this as, I love this. I see hawks and eagles and like birds of prey frequently. And I always associate it with my dad. Like, my dad's popping in to nod and say hello. Right. And those kinds of things will happen to my sisters and I. I was home for Christmas and we were driving around and we saw an eagle and I was like, oh my God, we got to go follow. And we followed this eagle in the car around the lake. And this eagle like perched up in a tree and just sat for a hot minute while we drove and just sat there and watched this thing. And we're taking pictures, like, and just sat there watching us. Like, it was waiting for us to show up. And I was just like, hey, Dad, how you doing? What's up? Thanks for the photogenic opportunity. Appreciate you.
Right, right. That's really cool, you know. I mean, that's just, animals play such a big role in the spiritual realm that people don't realize that. But let me ask you, what state do you live in?
I live in South Dakota right now. I'm in the middle of the country. So I'm... where I'm at, I do go to the river. Big Sioux is like the river around the area where I live. So like, I do spend a lot of time going down there and being outdoors, but it's kind of like you say, you know, they get close to me, they swoop over me all the time. And if you're not out there and you're not paying attention, you're not going to notice those things.
Right. You're in the middle of the state?
No. So I'm on like the southeast corner, South Dakota, Sioux Falls area. So southeast corner.
Okay. I used to live just south of Sioux Falls.
Where? Lenox. Lenox was the first one I was going to say. Look at you. I love it. How very synchronistic. I love it. See, now we're going to have a whole other podcast where we chit-chat about South Dakota times.
Right. So you know Lenox.
I do. I was just talking to a gal from Lenox who's like going to help me get some spots and some commercials locally, actually, trying to help me get some... you know, get my personality out there and have it help me pay the bills for a hot minute. Let's test out that little game.
Right. Yeah. I think two of my ex-girlfriends lived there.
Oh, well, is that why you had to move? Because like once you've got two exes in South Dakota, you've completed the dating pool and you need to bounce.
No, it was just like a big whole mess. I lived in Sioux City, Iowa for a while.
I'm looking to move because I'm just ready to be able to be outdoors for like the whole year round and not just right. 6 months of the year. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Down south, I mean, Kentucky's nice. Tennessee's nice. You know,
well, I could just go to Georgia where Bernie's from and I could tune in just a little bit better and maybe get her story a bit more clear so I don't get that wrong twice.
See? Never know.
Never know. Universe, I'm here. Right. We're in the flow. Show me the thing.
Right.
Ready for it. Ready to accept the new adventures that await.
Right. And that's where you kind of got to look at it, you know? It's just, you know, what other opportunities, you know, will befall on me, you know, fall on me that I can, you know, explore new and great things.
Just follow in your curiosity. You'll find some good stuff, y'all. Go down a rabbit hole. There's cool stuff in there. Alice could tell you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Go ask Alice. She'll tell you all about it.
So what do you have coming up in the next couple months?
I am working on a lot of different projects and different things. I am actually looking to start. So like I have my Frankie's Podcast Network YouTube channel, but I'm starting my Frankieverse YouTube channel that'll be specifically my fictional things. So I do really want to dive back into my writing more heavily. And I am working with some different AI softwares that I have some friends of mine that are working with me. We're starting a nonprofit called Nubius, and we've been working on ways that we can use my fictional stories and my characters and like get AI avatars built of them and create different content. Again, edutainment content, fictional sci-fi content. Maybe I'm big into doing some meditations with Bernie down by Big Sioux. So I am exploring a lot of new avenues. There's a lot of new exciting things coming up. Y'all stay tuned. There's going to be some good stuff. Check out Frankie's Podcast Network on YouTube and watch for the Frankieverse to pop on out. I got all kinds of podcasts and entertainment for you, y'all. Come on over and hang out. It'll be a good time.
Yeah. You got to have me on your show now.
Yeah, absolutely. Come hang out and let's chat some more. This has been great. Like,
yeah.
What an unexpected happy Friday night podcast for me. I love it.
Yeah. You never know who you're going to meet, you know? Especially two people that lived in the same area that you did.
Funny. That's just so fun. I love small world that it really is.
Right, right. Yeah. I I'm in Wisconsin, so I was born.
I lived in Wisconsin for a while. Where are you at? I lived in Waupun and Fall River, Wisconsin.
I'm living in Lake Geneva.
Where at?
At Lake Geneva. Which is right an hour north of Chicago.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. About 50 minutes west of Kenosha.
Okay. Yep. I back in the day when I worked at the post office in Wisconsin, I would cover in Kenosha now and then.
Yeah. See?
Look at that. I love it. We're going to have you on a podcast. Look at all the fun times we could talk about. Turns out Spirit knew what it was doing when it got us together for a podcast. Look at that. Right. Proof is in the pudding, y'all.
Right. And the funny thing is the fact that that's the way it usually has been going lately. I mean, the guests that I've gotten, like I said, mm-hmm. I put Paranormal Saloon together in a day. It just, I was taking a nap on a Thursday, and I woke up and I'm like, this idea came to my head. And then Friday, I was like, I'm just going to put it all together. I threw it all together, made all the artwork, made the post.
Bada bang, bada boom.
Right. That's
just
the
follow the curiosity, fastest. Follow the idea.
Right. That's the fastest turnaround I've ever done.
I love it. Well done, you.
Yeah. So
that's called listening to your intuition and following the flow.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I did, you know. But I've had such great positive feedback, you know, from a lot of different people. And yeah, it's nice.
It is a great thing about podcasting that you do get to, it's a natural networking thing, right? The connections you make and the relationships you build. My friend George Monty, who's a podcaster, he says relationships are the new currency, and podcasting is such a great way to build that currency and those relationships. And it's a lot of fun, and you get to meet a lot of cool people like Jay and have some awesome conversations.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. It's kind of funny. My daughter's name's Haley.
Oh, what? Look at that. See? Yeah. Perfect.
It's not spelled the same, but it's
well, spelled. That's all right. You know, I always say I didn't pick the spelling. Mom did. I just wear it well.
Nope, that's cool. I like it.
All right,
everybody. So we want to thank Haley for coming on and having such a great conversation. And people who are going to be listening to this as soon as they upload it onto the podcast. This has been a good time. And I'm so glad that you reached out to me and that we got this to happen. And we'll definitely have to switch roles.
Yes.
And I'll come on your podcast. Just gotta let
you
know
come on over. We'll have a hangout, and don't you think that I won't be asking questions about South Dakota and Wisconsin?
I'm sure.
We're gonna have some inside baseball conversation. We're gonna have to.
All right, everybody. I want to thank you again, and we will see you tomorrow night on another episode of Paranormal Saloon.